Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Ivan Garcia Zahir. I actually got it right. My audience knows I screw up names all the time. And with a name like Bogolub, I mean, for crying out loud, it shouldn't be that difficult. She's the author of the supernatural fantasy series, The Anubis Chronicles. I think they got that right. We're going to talk about it. She has studied philosophy, religion, and spirituality and healing her entire life. Before we turn the mic on, I always got to remember, turn the mic on. Stop talking about all this stuff, but we're going to talk more about it because that's why I wanted to talk with you. Two of her greatest passions are giving peace to everyone through the world of magic, and that fits so well in the imaginational mind. She has also written many short stories, and I could go on and on forever, but we'll talk about as many things as we can on the show today. Ivan, thank you very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you right off the top. You didn't just wake up in the morning and just say, I'm going to do this stuff. I'm just going to do these books. I'm going to do this stuff. I'm going to be spiritual. What was that serendipity, that accident, that coincidence? And I know there's many, but pick one that comes, the first thing comes to your mind of how they're like, oh, I better go that way. I'm going that direction. It just pulled you. And that's where you're at now.
Well, people are going to think that it's crazy and it sounds bad. And it is in a way, but the universe took my mobility away and put me in tremendous pain where I couldn't do anything else. So I said, I can't just lay here and do nothing. All right.
Very cool.
So that's how I started writing, you know, and it's funny what you can do when you're put in a position where you can't do anything else. And since that happened, I've produced two short plays that have been produced on stage.
And cool.
And I've written, I have another manuscript, which I started to write, which was kind of, I want everybody to meditate. That's like my big thing. And I think that that is the key to life. I know it sounds dramatic.
No, it isn't.
And it sounds like an easy fix to so many problems, but it actually is. And so I thought, I'm going to get everybody to meditate through my story, and especially Latinas and Latinos who you know, in my culture, especially in my age, maybe it's not so much now because people are hearing about it. But when I started knowing all this, I came from a Catholic Mexican family in Avadio where people didn't talk about reincarnation or anything like that.
Spirituality. No.
No, it was you were Catholic and. And that's a whole other story because my brother something happened to my brother and I was very disillusioned. So I went searching and I found this. When I tried to tell everybody thought, oh, she lost it. She's going crazy because of what happened to her brother. But it wasn't it. So I just shut up for about 30 years and I continued to study myself. And meditation changes everything in anybody's life. It just does. So that book I wrote, I have a manuscript, but then I didn't publish it because it was all about self-healing. And I was getting healed and I was losing tremendous amount of weight and all this thing. And then I got COVID and I went back a bunch and I said, how can I publish a book on healing when I'm not really healed? I'm actually worse than I was when I started. So I didn't publish that book. And I said to myself, I'm going to write something fun, a werewolf book.
Meditation to werewolf.
No, but you know what? You're going to laugh. So I said, because when I was young, I used to read those so that to distract me from the sad life of living and seeing all the bad things that happen. So I would go into this world of fantasy and get away from life. So I started to write a regular werewolf book. Well, if anybody reads my book, they're going to say, that's more of a book on energy.
That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to put things in people's minds. They will get what everybody gets a little different take on what you read. We were talking about music before I hit record. Everybody gets different things out of it. Everybody gets different joy and different like, I like that. Mm-hmm. So you never know. So what I like about the stories is that you took this debilitating thing that happened to you. And you had a choice. You had a choice. You could have just gone right down in the gutter, or you could have gone and did something with it. And you took it and did something with it. And that's the cool story.
Yeah, I mean, it is, because I can't give up. I'm not ready to give up, you know. And even though I can't walk and I can't very well, and I can't sit for very long periods of time, I can still write. I can still think. I can still imagine.
That mind is, you know, it's the last thing that we ever go to in life. Everybody goes outside to the world to go, heal me, take me, do what you can. And it's like, and then we find the answer for a little bit. Well, one of the things I talk about in my philosophy of Ajahnoy, I talk about right in the middle between the conscious and subconscious. We stay in that conscious mind. So we're comfortable being uncomfortable in something we're familiar with, bad relationship, bad job. And everybody can point to that sometime in their life, right? And you just get comfortable. You're uncomfortable, but you're familiar with it. And to go outside of yourself through your mind, in your imagination, in your fantasy, in the things that you're talking about with your self-healing and your world, you know, your world of fantasy, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you have to be able to adapt to what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. The world's not going to adapt to you, but you can choose free will and choice. How do you go about doing that? I want to talk about meditation. I mean, meditation, there's two things, and I totally want your point of view and your story on this. So I just got through teaching a class a little while ago, and I've had more requests called silence meditation and sleep. So you need silence for sleep. You don't have silence, you don't have any sleep, but meditation's right in the middle. And there's no right or wrong way to meditate. But how does the meditation for you, because I pray and meditate several times a day, how has that turned your life around? How does that make a difference? Because if you're mind is in a relaxed state, so is your body. If your mind isn't, your body isn't. It's one and the same. So how does that affect you, and how do you go about it? And where did you start from with all that?
Well, like I said, when I was in my early 20s, my brother went through a family tragedy. Okay. And I was very, very Catholic at the time. Okay. I started searching, and I came across a book called Reincarnation, the Phoenix Fire Mystery. And I read that book like from cover, from front to back. I didn't put it down until I finished, and it's a thick book. Cool. And in there, it talked about meditation. Okay.
Okay.
And I thought, I tried and tried to meditate. And I thought, because at that time, you have to remember, there was no computers. I thought that you had to clear your mind to meditate. And I tried for many, many years, and I didn't understand. I didn't understand. I tried for many years through my life. I would try, let me try now to meditate. And I could never clear my mind. So I thought, I guess I'm not capable of meditating, but that's not true. And this is what I'm saying. It sounds like a bad thing, but when everything was taken away from me, I just laid there and I said, well, I'm going to meditate. Even if I can't, I'm going to meditate. So I would lay there and just try to clear my mind. And you're going to laugh when I tell you this, but every time I tried to meditate, bad thoughts kept coming in my mind worse than before. So don't ask me why I thought this. I said, these thoughts are like chupacabras. Do you know what a chupacabra is?
I know the term. I can't remember. Isn't that like a bad, like a secret, like a monster or something?
It's a monster that sucks blood out of people and animals, and it steals their life force. So yeah. I thought these thoughts are like chupacabras. So I would say, chupacabras, be gone. And I would say it like 1,000 times, to the point that I named the bad thoughts. I named them. So as time went on, every time I had a bad thought, I'd say, chupacabra, go away. And they would. So it started to get less and less and less, and I started to be able to have the silence.
Ooh.
And then one time, and I fell into a deep silence, and it was like I was shown something.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, I totally believe it.
You know what? I saw this light. It was like a big light. And I thought, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm not silent anymore. What is that light? And I looked and I looked, and I heard a voice said, it's you.
Oh, wow. Said,
it said, you're a beautiful light and you don't even know it. After that, I realized that everybody is a light. And when you don't know it, you allow things to happen. You don't love yourself the way you should. If you have a child, don't you love that child? And wouldn't you never let anybody hurt it?
Right.
But we don't do that to ourselves.
No. Wow.
We don't.
Wow.
And I remember crying and crying. And I said, that's the first time in my life I had seen myself. And I was like 57. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, I just started changing. After that, everything changed. Everything changed for me. I can't explain it. It's like meditation changed everything. I started having synchronicities in my life. Somebody brought oils, essential oils to me. They had me on 5 different pain medications. 5.
Wow.
And I felt that's why I just laid down in bed that day and cried, because I felt like, how can I be on drugs all the time? It's such a poor quality of life. You know, you might as well not be there. I couldn't go to parties. I couldn't be around people. So a friend of mine brought me some essential oils and begged me, can I just put them on you? And I said, that's silly. All these medications I'm on and it's not taking my pain away. How is essential oils going to take my pain? She goes, can I just try it? I said, okay. And then the next morning, I was just a teeny bit better in a different way. So today, I'm off all the medications except one. And I only take it when I'm going to travel or when I'm in a lot of pain and I can't take it.
Right.
But mostly, I manage my pain through meditation and oils. Mostly.
The show is now over because you just kind of gave everything. Oh, I mean, it's perfect. And this is, again, you know, we're magnets. We attract what we think about, talk about, and feel. And like yourself and other people I've interviewed on the show, I'm just, all this stuff is coming at me. It's so amazing. So I want to take a break to talk to the conscious community audience. She trained her mind. Did anybody hear that? She trained her mind. It's like, okay, I can't meditate. Well, I'm debilitated. Well, God bless it. I'm going to figure out how to meditate, even though I have no clue. And you're right, because I've talked to yogis. And yogis say, could you please tell everybody if with meditation, you don't have to get in those goofy positions. And there is no, so if you try to clear your mind, you're just going to get a giant headache. And you created a fantasy, imaginational mind, as I call it in the philosophy. And you created this whole world. Because I have a whole world in my mind of what my Ajinoy world is. I mean, I have a river, I have a bridge, I have trees, I have railroad tracks, I got an imaging place, I've got an ocean, I've got sand. So you took what you were getting, retrained your mind, took the time for self-healing, figuring out what meditation works for you. Then you started getting these serendipities, accidents, and coincidences. All these little things, all these little, I call them God winks, all these little things coming. Why don't you try this oil? Why don't you try? But it's the power of your mind. The drugs don't do it. Other people don't do it, because you could tell people till you're blue in the face, do this, do this, do this, do this. Doesn't mean anything. You have good intention, but you yourself have to change within yourself. And I love how you said that your different colors, because I call it colored spectrum of light. Mine is blue. And those are these things that keep you going. And I picture it right now when I'm talking to you. And I'm sure you say, go away,
Chupacabra.
I can't say it. Chupacabra?
Cabra.
Say it again.
Chupacabra.
Yeah. The bad stuff. Let it go away. But you have to first accept the stuff inside you. Mm-hmm. Because the more we tend to fight, the more we push again. It's like being in the water. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Tao Te Ching. That's thousands of years old. And Lao Tzu supposedly wrote it. Who knows? But he always talks about all the time and the 80, I think it's 84 verses, water. Be like water. Don't go against the waves. The waves will kick you back. You're going to knock your head against some rock and you'll be unconscious. Go with the flow. Figure it. Let your mind drift. One of the things that I believe is totally important with the, you're talking about the meditation, is sleep. See, in the philosophy of Ajinoy, sleep is so important because that's where you get connected directly with the universe of mind, spirits, and angels. Those are the things that when you're asleep, and if you're with somebody, they're asleep too. Nobody bothers you. And when you're praying and meditating and you get into that sleep, I mean, you saw that light. Were you kind of in a half daze when you saw that? Or how were you aware of it?
I must have been, because I felt like I was awake, but it was just so profound and so real. I thought afterwards, was I asleep? I don't know. But the voice that said, that's you, wasn't my voice, but was it? I mean, I don't know.
I believe that it's whatever you call your universal mind, call it God, call it a cup of coffee. But whatever that is talking to you, it's understanding that there's something bigger than what we are. we're just empty tubes. And when the tube is a problem, we want to shut down. But you went that extra step above and beyond what you were thinking doing, because it was very uncomfortable what you did. Was it comfortable going from, you know, you couldn't do anything to all the drugs and then to this? It wasn't, was it? Was it easy?
No, no, it's very debilitating. I don't know how to explain it. I was a very active person. I don't want to say I'm not active now, because I am sort of still, but I like to do things. I like to be places, and to not be able to do anything, it's very hard, you know, but you have to decide, are you done? I'm not done. I have too many things to do. And I'm the kind of person, like, whenever I see something beautiful or nice, I want to share it with everybody, you know, and I want everybody to have that experience. I want everybody to see themselves, because even if some people who think that they're not good people or think that they're bad or whatever, they're not. The essence of them is not bad, because we all come from the divine. So nobody's really bad. We might have bad behavior. We might have a lot of hurt that causes us to do bad things. But I believe that nobody is really bad. And see yourself. If you see yourself, it changes everything. Everything. Yeah. And I wanted to say one little thing about the energy. You know, I believe that this body that I have, that has, I've had pain since I was 12, and that's a whole other story. But I think that I carry that energy for a reason. And there's no doctor that's going to cure me. There's no surgery that's going to cure me. I have to change that deep energy that I carry with that pain, and that I'm the only one who can cure myself. And I haven't been able to do it completely. Well, I haven't been able to do it because I can't walk really well, but I know it's on me. And if I don't do it in this lifetime, I'll have to do it another lifetime. Unless I chose to do it in this lifetime to understand it, I don't know. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I know that all the answers are within me if I can access them.
Bingo.
I believe that.
Bingo.
Believe it.
You're the soul knowledge. Your inner knowing knows. And giving yourself a chance to be able to find that, and that's what I'm doing with my philosophy, my trainings, and you're doing that for yourself, because we always look for the answers and in the outside world, and then we go point over there and go like, it's like following something around in the grocery store and going, that guy looks healthy. I think I'll follow him and buy what he's eating, you know? And, but it's like, you look out there and somebody says, well, why don't you do this? Oh, that sounds like a good idea. And you just go for it. And then you tell somebody else, well, that person's idea is stupid. My idea is better. I'm like, oh, well, and then you tell somebody else, and it keeps going on and on and on. And you're right. Our inner knowing knows, but here's the key, at least one of the keys. You need to have patience. You need to take the time. One of my students yesterday just said, hey, you should call this the University of the Mind. Oh, I like it. So that's what I'm using. The University of the Mind. When you go to school and you're growing up, they tell you what to do. You get a job, they tell you what to do. You maybe read a book if you have a family, maybe that, and you just kind of wing it. But when it comes time to maybe either retire or things come up that you don't have a process of procedure, you don't have a written book, you don't have something, then you're desperately looking out there for either it's the internet or the library. And they're all temporary things. And if we simply come down and sit in silence, how important is silence?
That's golden. It's golden because, you know, in the first manuscript that I didn't publish, I have a line, and I said, the best gift you can give yourself of love is to commit to meditate every day. And that's the whole thing. You have to commit to meditate every day. Maybe you think you're not doing it right, but eventually you are going to fall into silence. You will, even if it's just short times.
Right.
If you meditate for an hour, maybe you went into the silence for 5 minutes, but still that 5 minutes in universal time means more than our 5 minutes.
Yes.
You know?
And you see things and experience things. And
yes,
because that was something I wanted, I had a note on it here and I want to go back to it, is, you know, we're talking about the, you know, being comfortable and something we're uncomfortable, familiar with. So the more you train your mind, whatever you call it Ajna, you call it your flight, it doesn't matter what you call it, the more it gets used to it.
Yes.
And the more it gets used to it, the more you find yourself suddenly doing it all the time, and you're in more joy and abundance. Because again, if you're in stress in your mind, well, we use the word stress. It's not like the word falls out of the sky and comes in there and go, oh, it's the stress word. And you're right. You know, if you have a pain, if I have a pain, or I have something go wrong, or if I used to be told I was a klutz. And what I realized through this philosophy is that's a false narrative.
Did you believe it?
I did, totally. The reason why I believed it is because I was told that. And I just simply, nothing wrong with that. This is where we go through life like that. And I realized through the philosophy, pray, meditation, serendipity hacks, and that's all. I mean, if I have to teach this stuff, I'm going to be darn well if I don't live it. And I realized, wait a minute. I question everything. What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to get out of this? I'm being, quote, klutzy because I'm not being here now. I'm worrying about getting from here to the other side of the room so much that I could fall on my face. I don't trip over anything anymore because I take a little bit more time. When I go to shopping, we go to Costco, or and I'm not mocking my parents. I love my parents. They're gone now. They're together for 70 years. They were married for 65. Great, great example. I had great parents, very spoiled. But my mom used to rush. It's like, we got to get in. You got to go to the grocery store. Got to get your stuff and get out. Let's go. So I used to run like crazy, go to Costco, and like, I got to do my stuff. I got to do my stuff. And my wife's walking behind me. It's like, she got used to it. But I realized, you know what? I got to stop that. What happens if I'm walking by and Yvonne was next to me and I smiled at you? You smiled at me. We had a conversation. I'm in such a rush to get from point A to point B. I'm going to fall on my face, I'm going to pass up life. Every little microsecond, every little nanosecond, every little thing you do in your life leads to something else. But if you're so busy trying to get to somewhere else, you get there in the end. What's the rest like passing up a car on the highway? They're still there when you get off the off ramp and they're going 90 and you were going 60. You were talking about, I want to talk about moving forward, no matter what the circumstances. Give the audience a little bit of an example of, you know, a story or something that from what you've learned in your life to do that.
Well, it's moving forward is you keep on trying. And in my situation, I want to help other people because I've talked to many people who are depressed because they're in pain, depressed because they don't have this or that or the other. And I'm trying to tell people, if you focus on what you do have, like every day when I wake up and I pray and meditate at the same time, but I pray first and I thank the universe because I can still walk with the walker. I can still see, I can hear, I can think clearly, I can write, I have a house, I'm not hurting financially. So all those things.
A lot of blessings.
And people say, oh, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. Because you know what? I'm in pain every single minute of the day. If I wanted to be bitter, I could. I really could. But I choose not to because there's still so much to give. My next moving forward is I want to create. When I had COVID, I thought, oh man, COVID put me back and I can't walk as much as I could before and all this stuff. But what happened in COVID, it's really bizarre, but I kept hearing somebody say, you have to make circles. Make circles. You have to make circles. And I thought it was just hallucinating because I was seeing a lot of colors. Weeks after, I realized something. I have to make healing circles because I had a niece come to me. It's not even my niece. It's a great niece. And she was distraught and upset. And then I had somebody else that was young. And I said, young people need healing. They need focus. So I haven't got my hands into it yet. I've been writing it of what I want to do. But I wanted create healing circles for the young women. And it doesn't have to be women, but for young people right now, because they're so confused. They have so much internet. They have so much influence.
Information overload.
Yes. And they're lost. They're lost. They're losing their culture. They're losing their self-worth. They're losing everything. And in a healing circle, you know, talk about people talk about witches. People have called me a witch, but there's no such thing as a witch. You know what a witch is?
No.
It's somebody who understands energy.
Well, then I'm a witch too.
Yes.
No. Because what is that? Wait, I'm not a witch. What is a male witch is called?
A warlock.
I'm a warlock then. Then you're the witch. I'm the warlock. Okay, that's fine. It's like Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. You're right. When people don't understand something, they put labels on it. But continue on.
Okay.
So tell me more about these circles.
Okay. So any religion, what do they have? Rituals. Why do they have rituals? Rituals are powerful because all it is focusing energy on something.
Right.
So any ritual is going to have a certain amount of power, depending on the person who's conducting it and the reason behind it and the people attending it. So I figure if we do healing circles like the Native Americans used to do, we can focus each person's energy on their own personal healing. And I mean, there's a lot of things involved in it. You have to make a ritual feel like a ritual so that you focus energy. And that's my next step. After I finish this trilogy I'm doing, which I want to finish quickly, I'm at the same time putting together these healing circles. I just don't know how I'm going to get them out there other than people I know at first. But right. I don't even want to charge for them. I want them to be free. But then again,
I know.
You can't, you know why you can't? And I very recently understood this.
No, I know, but you've got to say it to the audience.
There
Tell
has
them.
To be an exchange of energy.
That's right.
You can't give somebody something because then they take it for granted and they don't realize the value of it.
Bingo.
So I don't care if they bring me a candle or bring me a feather.
A chicken.
Yeah, something to exchange energy. And I want to conduct free healing circles for all the youth that wants to come.
You know, what's amazing about what you're talking about. I love the healing circle idea because was something I read. I read way too much, but it's mostly philosophy and something, with religion, or I don't call it religion, theology or whatever. But, when you realize the energy that you have and you're calling these circles, they're healing circles, and you're creating. See, I believe. Like I said, I call it God. Call it whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So for me, God gave you these things. And in the world of Ajahnoy, you're an Ajah. You're a soul. Your soul knowledge, but you're an Ajah. You're a soul. And you were saying, if you don't accomplish, it's going to go to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't
because
know where it's going to go.
It's out there.
There.
But it's out there.
I want your point of view on this. I used to be an engineer in the medical field, worked on something called an X-ray tube. You've probably been in CAT scanners and stuff, right? So that's the device that creates the radiation. I used to support that around the world. Can't see radiation.
No, it's there.
You can't. There's no colored light. There's no nothing. It's not the right frequency. And when you think about it, it could be healing. Because if you didn't have a CAT scanner, you didn't have X-rays, you couldn't heal a lot of things by looking on the inside of the body. They used to cut it open and they didn't know what to do. So what you don't see can be extremely powerful. So you tell me about the whole healing circles. You're telling me about everything that's going on of what's happening, of what you want to do. Because that was the thing I wanted to tell you. Somebody was saying that what I was reading was, you love it so much, you do it for free, but people want to learn from you, so they'll pay you. Something to that effect. You'd give it away for free.
I would. I'm saying, but there has to be an exchange of energy.
And I totally agree with you. You're 100% correct. And we do that in the form of money. And it is what it is. It's the way we work in the world. But I wanted to talk about, unless you want to talk a little further about some of this stuff, was going to go into one of your books.
Okay, real quick, I just want to say the reason that I don't want to charge money is because there are a lot of people who actually... a lot of people that don't have the money right now and they need help. So I would rather them give me any little token just for the exchange of energy so that they could start to heal. And then they can go from there.
You're absolutely right. In the 1800s, the doctor used to get paid in chickens. People didn't have money. They got paid, fresh milk or butter. Or cream or eggs. And money. Yeah, it's the way the world is. I understand that. And I donate a lot of time and a lot of money for what I do. That's my choice. But again, that's giving energy. I don't, yes. I, you give 100%, you get 100% back. You don't, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily in monetary gain. Let's see. I want to talk about your book, The Anubis. Did I say that right? Anubis Chronicles?
I believe it's Anubis.
Anubis. Mm-hmm. You are correct. I can't read my handwriting. Mm-hmm. So tell me about it.
Okay. So when I said to myself, forget all this deep stuff. I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to write a sexy, nasty werewolf book. Okay. That's what I said. So I started to write the beginning of it. And I don't know, I'm always thinking different things. My husband's from Egypt, and I've been to Egypt several times, and I'm fascinated with history. I don't know how I was scrolling, and I saw on the scroll, Anubis isn't really a dog. Everybody thinks he's a dog. He's a wolf. He's an ancient wolf. So I started researching that more and found out, in fact, yes, Anubis is an ancient Egyptian black wolf. So I said to myself, well, nobody ever writes about Egyptian wolves. I'm going to write about an Egyptian wolf. Then it went further. I went further. And there's actually a old city in Egypt called Lycopolis, which translates to the city of wolves. So that really got my imagination going more. So then I sat down and I started writing. And I didn't do, and I don't want to sound ridiculous, but I didn't go to, well, I'm not a very good English person because I didn't study English or anything. I decided to just write. I didn't do a draft. I didn't do anything.
You just wrote from your, you just, boom,
no,
came out.
I'm telling you.
I understand.
This book was damn channeled. I sat down and I wrote this book. And then when I go back to like read what I wrote, I'm like, really? I wrote that? And I'm going to go a step further that I just realized something because a friend of mine came to my house because I hadn't seen her for like 20 years. And she saw online that I wrote this book, and she's a very spiritual. I have a lot of very spiritual friends. Okay. She's very spiritual. She said, she asked me if she could come over. I said, sure. She goes, Yvonne, what made you decide to write that kind of a book? And we started talking about it. And one of the characters in the book, I named her Victoria Saint Germain. And she looked at me and she goes, you wrote it after the ascended master, Saint Germain? And I looked at her, I said, what? She goes, don't you remember, Yvonne, about 30 years ago, we did some work with the ascended master, Saint Germain? I said, no, I didn't remember. I didn't remember.
Right.
But he's in my book.
Interesting.
Isn't that bizarre?
No, it's not bizarre. It was meant to be.
Yeah, he's in the book, and he's this book got channeled. It turns out if you read it, it's actually more about energy. The second book that's being written now, and I say it because I don't feel like I'm writing it, it is going to be all about energy. Don't ask me how it changed from werewolf book to a book on energy. What it is.
But here's the thing: when you hook up to this. When you plug in, as I call it, these things start happening to you. I briefly told you I wrote a musical, which came from the philosophy. I wrote it in 6 months. It came out of me so fast. I'm waking up. I'm going down to my studio. I'm playing music. I'm returning the computer, and I go back to bed. 20 minutes later, I'm up. I wasn't tired. It just was going and going and going. And I didn't go back to the beginning. Like you said, you didn't go back to where you left off. You just kept going.
No,
and then
yes.
You look back at the beginning. I'm like, how does this flow? It's flowing. Where did this come from? And then things start connecting. And I'm like, but then I sit there and go, okay, what am I supposed to do with this, God? What am I supposed to do with this? I tried to force it. Try to get somebody, you want to produce it? I didn't know, right? And I'm like, I realized, okay, wait a minute. So I told a friend of mine, you're a magnet, right? So you attract a lot of spiritual people believing in universal mind and God or whatever you want to call it. And she's a good friend of mine. Her name is Leanne. She goes, Philip, let me ask you, if you got $10 million, not that I'm looking for the money, but somebody to buy the thing and do it. Do you know directors? No. You know producers? No. And she kept going down this list. She goes, you're going down the wrong road. Use your philosophy, pray and meditate, find out what you need to do. And that's what happened where I'm sitting right now, because I took it from there, started studying more about my philosophy, started learning more to pray and meditate, silence, meditation, sleep. Now I'm teaching classes. I got a bunch of students. I'm starting to go to corporate world. People are wanting to do this. I'm doing it at my temple. I'm doing all sorts of different things that are happening that are like, and I tell people about it and they're like, I love this stuff. I wrote my first book. Now it's called Discovery, Awakening, Transformation of a Soul's Purpose. It's not out there yet. So it's a burst book. It's only 16 pages long. It's nothing like you wrote. But these things, when they come out of you, you just sit down. You got to do them. It's like, you know what? I got to go. I'm going to another room. Leave me alone. Goodbye.
Well, you know, when I started writing this book at the very beginning, before I started really realizing it was being channeled, I thought, how in the world can I write 20,000 words? I was worried about 20,000 words. Do you know how long this book is? It's 89,000 words.
How long did it take you from the beginning to the end to do this? I mean, was it just flowing like crazy?
To just write it?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. Did you see it? You can't see it.
I saw it on your website. I like it. Wait. But I like it. No, let me see the picture again. It's the front of her book. Go to her website. You got to bring it up a little bit higher. Oh, I like that. How long did it take you?
Okay, to write it, it took me about, like I said, about 8 months, which is really weird. Okay,
that's fast.
Yes, and it is because I wrote my manuscript, the other one with my life, and it's all sad and everything.
Right.
That took about 2 years,
okay.
And it was like really heavy. This, it went like that. Yes. It was like I needed to write the other one to just get all my sadness out. And then I could write something like this or something.
No, I agree with you because unforgiveness is worse than forgiveness. When you got to unforgive. If there's somebody that's died or somebody that's done you wrong, you don't know what they're doing. You got to unforgive people. I know there's a lot of bad stuff that's happened to people. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But for me, I need to unforgive whoever it is, a relative, a friend, or whatever, because that if you don't forgive, that unforgiveness will bring you down. To your point, you probably need to write that book about the stuff that you went through in your life because it basically released it into the universe and disappeared.
Well, it's funny because in that book, I have a very long chapter on forgiveness because in our culture, the Latino culture, you know, there's a lot of non-forgiveness. People stay mad at each other for freaking years because, you know, they're tough. Nobody's going to take advantage of me. Nobody's going to do that. And that's just, you know, forgiveness is for the strong. Unforgiveness is for the weak. It's
say
easy. It
again. Say that again. I wanted the audience to hear that one more time.
Forgiveness is for the strong at heart. And unforgiveness is for weak. It's easy to stay mad. Staying mad is simple. It's learning to not stay mad, forgive, and forgive. I have a whole thing in that chapter about what forgiveness is and isn't. And one of the things it is not, it's not saying that you have to have those people in your life. It's not saying that what they did to you was okay. It's not saying any of those things. It's saying that you forgive them and you let it go, wherever that may go. And you bless it and let it go. You know, there's not one person in this world that I can say I hate or anything because we all came here to learn and we all make mistakes. I would venture to even say some of us agreed on some of these situations before we even came down for the purpose of learning. And I know that's a hard thing for a lot of people to accept. So a lot of people think, yeah, you're full of shit. What do you mean? I asked for that. No, we might have. I asked to be in this body that's so limited. I know I did. Now, I don't know when it's going to be over or if it'll ever be over in this life. But I don't have anybody to blame. Like my husband, my mother used to blame my husband for making me fat. Because when we got married, I used to like sweets and I wasn't that fat when we got married. And every week he'd bring me a new cake and we'd eat it. We made two dinners a day because I didn't know he didn't like my cooking. So I would cook. Like a good Mexican woman's supposed to do, we'd eat dinner. And then 2 hours later, he would cook again and say, please eat with me. I don't like to eat alone. So we ate two dinners for the first year of our marriage.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I gained 60 pounds.
But he didn't want to tell you your cooking stinks.
Well, it doesn't stink. I cook very well, but I cook Mexican food. He likes Arabic food.
Two totally different cultures. Mm-hmm. Totally different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Mexican food. I don't know anything about Egyptian food. I have no clue what that is.
Well, it can be good. I mean, for me, I don't like turmeric and stuff like that.
Yes, the spices. It's the spice, like Indian food, because everybody thinks Indian food's always too hot. It's just the spices are.
It's not that it's hot. I like hot. I just don't like the spices.
Yeah. And it really has to do with how you're raised and what cultures. Some cultures mm-hmm. that don't have milk in their diet, they come here to the United States or go to wherever and they drink milk. They can't have milk, you know, because right. they've never had it for generations. But I find that extremely exhilarating and very energetic of what you just said, because, well, you asked to be where you're at.
Yes. And I take full responsibility for how I am.
That's a very, very vulnerable place to be, because most cultures do not ask that question. And again, it's not that the cultures are bad, the religion is bad, but it's you're on automatic. So you're telling people to do something, which I don't have a problem with, but then you realize that because you're being told that by something else, that's got to be true. That's not true. That's false. That's a false narrative of me being klutzy. And there's a lot of different things. And I don't know if I said this here, but I said it earlier with one of my students. I called her earlier. I said, you know, I just realized that when I get through one thing in my mind, it's done now. I've transformed it in the subconscious, do all my stuff and everything. There's another one right behind it. You'll never stop going through stuff, because I don't say mistakes. I don't like the word mistakes, and I haven't come up with a good word yet. I want a replacement word. Without mistakes, you can't learn.
Okay. Before I forget, because the person that gave me the confidence to continue writing,
yes,
is, and this is another synchronicity of meditating. Oh. So I don't know how it got into my email, but I got this email from this person, and it said, I'm starting a class, or she's starting this first class on word magic. And I never really pay for classes, but that phrase, word magic, really caught my eye. And it said, learn about the secret hidden spells in our language. So I took the class, and it's from this woman called Laurel Erica. And she has a organization called World Global, I think it is.
Okay.
And she's well known in her circles. She's the word magic lady. Oh my God. She is such a spiritual presence being. We've become very dear friends, and she's the one who gave me, you know, she gave me the confidence and told me, Yvonne, she goes, you're a storyteller. I read to her my other manuscript, and she to this day thinks I should publish that. But, and she doesn't really, you know, go for stuff like this. When I started reading her this one, there's some really bad scenes in there. Like there's a rape scene, and she has to cover her ears because she can't hear that stuff. think about words. You just said you want another word for mistake. I'm sure Laura will have one, because I'll ask her too next time, because she's made me see how important every single word you say means. Because, well, I already knew that everything has energy, because we know everything is energy. So when we speak, all the words have energy. I used to be a big cursor until I met Laurel 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I met Laurel, because it used to annoy me when people would say, there's kids in the room, or, oh my God, Yvonne, why are you cussing? I used to say, well, if I didn't stop fucking cussing for my kids, why would I stop for yours? And, you know, just don't keep them around me. But then me and Laurel had this long talk, and she just said, Yvonne, she goes, if that's the way you want to express yourself, that is fine. She goes, but realize and understand that everything you say comes out as energy. And
it comes back to you. Absolutely.
She goes, So did you know that I rarely cuss anymore? That's all I needed to hear. Not people telling me. I used to do it like it's a defiant, especially amongst my husband's family. They're so proper and everything. And I was this really rowdy, crazy American woman. And they're always trying to talk to me about this and that. And I would say, F this and F that. Who cares? You know, I used to always play devil's advocate naturally.
Right. Right.
Now I don't even have the urge to cuss anymore, really, you know, because it's true. We have to really guard our energy, because the higher our energy is, the better we are to be around other people, our kids, our grandkids. You know, why would I want to give them a negative energy? I wouldn't.
What we talk about, think about, and feel.
Yes.
I mean,
and speak. Yeah. And
you are what you think about. You are mm-hmm. what you feel. You are what you communicate. And I could sit here and give 10 different faces, and so could you, and I wouldn't say a word. You know exactly what I feel.
But and that's true.
The words, so we think it, or what I say, our thoughts that we're thinking, which is the, all the noise, or your thinking thoughts, which is the subconscious mind, the universal mind, spirits and angels, serendipities, accidents, coincidences, all the stuff you're supposed to be in, the spiritual mind. But when you come out with the noise from the conscious mind, it goes through your body, start getting tensed up, and it comes out as swear words, or it comes out as you're stupid, I don't like your way, you know, and you don't have to really say words sometimes. You just need to do a look. Go ahead.
Comes out as a spell. Ooh. Why do you think they call spelling spells? Spelling, I mean, writing words, you're spelling words out, you're actually creating spells. Ooh. When you speak, you're creating a spell. Ooh. Everything you say is a spell. Ooh. You know, when you get these politicians who do these coin phrases and yeah. everybody starts saying them, it's a spell.
Yeah.
And some people are more susceptible to certain spells than others.
Interesting. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I see how that, because and it could be with anybody. I mean, you were giving the example of a politician. That's a given, right? But you could do business mm-hmm. people, you could do family, you could do friends, you could do anybody. It fits into mm-hmm. anything. One of the things that I've eliminated was negativity. Somebody asked me, well, what did you eliminate? I said, I don't watch anything negative anymore.
Oh, neither
do I. Like it, turn it off. Because in over 2,000 years on the planet Earth, man's inhumanity to man has never changed.
And what we do,
it will never change. Even after we're gone, it will never change, because you're trying to change people. You got to change from the inside out, like we've been talking about. Once you change from the inside out, once you ask for forgiveness for yourself or for other people, and people, you know, you want to stop something, you want to stop a fight, and going, you know what, I really love you, Yvonne, but I don't want to talk about this anymore. We're not getting anywhere. That you just tampered the whole thing, because we're so busy saying, I got to do this to get there, and I got to do this. You're getting nowhere. You're going nowhere, because it's all you're doing is coming back to where you start. You start from dirt, you end up in dirt. I don't care what age you are. And we only live to, 82, 83 for men, 85, 86 on average for women. Mm-hmm. But even if you live to 100, that's not a long life. Yeah. And I've wasted a lot of time. Now, somebody asked me if I ever regretted anything in my life. Now, unless you're hitting small animals and children, which I never did and never will do, I don't regret what I did, because at that point in time, I thought that was the right thing to do. How am I supposed to know? So you can call it a mistake. I want to know. It's Laurel, right? I want to know. Mm-hmm. I don't like the word mistake, because it was designed that if you didn't make mistakes, you don't learn anything. You learn nothing. And even if somebody sits still and doesn't do anything, you're still going to have mistakes, because you need to live within that world of learning. And learning is a subconscious thinking, not a noisy thought. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, you know, it's really important. Like, think about the word churches made people pray, P-R-A-Y,
okay,
so that they could pray, P-R-E-Y, on them.
I like it. I like it.
I mean, there's so many of those, I can't even tell you. And sometimes Laurel comes up with stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, I never saw it that way.
Wait, what are those called? They're called, like, not acronyms. There's a word for it.
There is a word for it.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But very intentional.
That. Yes.
They're very intentional.
The three of us need to get on a phone call together. I think we'd have a really incredibly powerful discussion on different
things.
Look
her up and look at why she's famous.
What's her name again?
Laurel Erica, like A-I-R-I-C-A. Laurel Erica. She's been she's been on a whole bunch of podcasts.
I'll look her up. I'll probably find her in 2 seconds. I do things on LinkedIn a lot too, so I'll probably find her there too. I wanted to go over something talking about magic is everywhere, and uncovering universal truths sometimes come from very unlikely places. I don't even know if we need to talk any further, because we basically have been talking about that. It's looking for those, I call them one thing, you call them the other, but that's the same thing. It's like, wow, that's a coincidence. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Why did that happen? See, to me, I always question. I go outside and I question, why did God have me look at that squirrel?
So do I. I do actually the whole time.
Why am I looking at the tree? Why is that?
What does that mean?
What is that meaning? What?
Yeah, what does that mean?
See, in the audience, I'm telling you, it's not crazy. because you're thinking in an unphysical way. You're not thinking about the physical way. You're thinking in an unphysical mind. And when you open your mind to that, amazing things happen. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say you said that it brings certain types of people together.
Yes.
So Laurel has every month this, it's called a Sacred Rites Writing Circle.
Okay.
And if you look on my book on the credits, you know, I credit her, they're small groups, like no more than six people in this group so that everybody can have time to share and interact. Every freaking group I've been in, you meet the most beautiful, wonderful people. There's this one woman in a group that I'm in right now, and she's writing these kind of spiritual opening awareness books for children who are sensitive to energy. And one of hers is called Your Too Muchness. And it's like, she read it to us yesterday, Wednesday at our reading circle, and it's called Your Too Muchness. And she reads the whole thing, and it's in a rhyme, and it's for a child, but it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard because it made me cry, because my whole life people told me, you're too much. But she talks about too muchness of some people, too much emotion, too much energy, too much sadness, too much love. Some people are just too much. But that's because we're sensitive. We're ultra sensitive to the energy and everything around us. And people who don't have that don't quite understand us too muchness people.
This is very true. We could go on forever.
We could.
And we probably need to come back at another date and do another one. We could take one thing and have that topic the entire show. But what I want to leave the audience with is something that an inspirational aphorism, something you can leave people with when they're listening here, that just, you know, go on your way and do this or that. What can you think of off the top of your head to tell people?
Well, it's the first thing that I believe with all my heart. If anybody wants to change your life, change your energy, change your life, meditate. Learn to meditate. And if you think you can't, you can. Everybody can. And you can. In my other book, I created a 369 meditation, which is 3 minutes as a, how do you call it? Why am I forgetting words? When somebody speaks to you meditating, I forgot, what's that called?
You mean intuition?
No. A meditation that's, oh my God, why am
intuitive?
I forgetting?
Intuitive?
No.
Continue
guided,
on. Don't worry about it.
A guided meditation.
Okay, got it.
Three minutes of a guided meditation, because that's easier to start with for most people
when they have
a guided meditation.
Yes.
And then 3 minutes as a mantra. Think of a word, whatever you want, like
anything. Soup.
I live in love, whatever.
Anything
love,
that makes you
love,
feel good.
Gratitude, whatever. 3 minutes in gratitude and then 3 minutes in silence. If you practice that, you'll figure out what meditation best suits you.
Okay.
But, you know, you start with 3 minutes and
right.
you just keep going.
Start. I mean, I think the most important thing is to start it and stick with it.
Yes.
Stick with it.
You have to be committed.
And it takes time. And when your mind gets annoyed with it, that means you're moving forward.
Yes.
So Yvonne,
Every day. Absolutely.
Don't skip a day. Just like tying your shoes and taking a shower and brushing your teeth. Mm-hmm. And you go to exercise that mind muscle. Yvonne, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been an incredible conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I loved it.
I loved it too. So I always tell my audience when we leave, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.